Faces family. It is so awesome. I see familiar faces and I see new faces. Or maybe faces we haven't seen in a while. So let's just welcome everybody in today. Yes, and praise and worship was amazing. And today's message is actually how to walk in peace. So I thank you so much, Patty, because praise and worship helped to usher in peace today. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we just welcome your presence. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for a peace that passes all understanding, that will guard over this word today, guard over our mind, so that we can receive what you need from us. Father God, I am a yielded vessel. I am nothing without you. Pour out everything of Deborah, and Holy Spirit, just speak through me to bring the word of God, that it may be glorified, that it may be edified, and that you, Father God, will just be new, a new revelation, a fresh peace to us in these troubled times. Father God, we thank you for your presence, your sweet presence. We honor and glorify you now with our ears and our heart and our eyes as we listen attentively to you and get still in your presence. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, how to walk in peace. Well, I tell you, I have been tested this morning. Even coming off stage at Praise, I was like, oh my goodness, you know, the urgencies that hit you, and then the you know, jitters, and then the dry throat, and the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. I mean, all I've got to do is reset my mind. Isn't that what the word tells us? Reset our mind. So that's what we're going to do now, is we're going to reset our mind to the mind of peace, which is the mind of Christ. And I looked up the word peace, of course, just to give you a definition. I think we all kind of know what it is. But anyway, it is an agreement or a treaty between a warring group. So we know that in times of war, you know, they'll have a peace treaty, and that causes a truce to be between the two parties. It's also a mutual harmony. It's a relationship. It provides security and freedom from violence and abuse and all of those things, peace. And it also gives you a calm and quiet and untroubled settling. Now, the opposite of peace, and we know we've been there, and we're probably there right now about something, if we were all truthful. Agitated, anxiety, disquieted, uneasiness, and mental stress. Ooh, Lord. Mental stress. You know, the word peace, just when you say it, brings a peace of calm when you think about it, you know. And when you say anxiety, that brings tension. So those words both carry power. In Isaiah 26 and 3, you will keep in perfect peace whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. God has already planted the peace in us. God knows the thief to our peace, and he has not left us to be tossed with mental stress and uneasiness. As we pray and as we speak, you know, our needs and our desires to God, he, in that trust relationship with him, gives us his perfect peace. Now Jesus tells us, and he encourages us here in John 14, 26 and 27, he tells us that he's going to go away. And this is, you know, he was speaking with the disciples, and he says, I'm going to go away. And he said, but the Father will send an advocate. The advocate is Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is a part of the Trinity. He is a person. Holy Spirit is not something magical. It's not just, it is real, a real person, just as Jesus was a real person and God. They're all in one. Okay, and he's going to send the Holy Spirit in my name, in Jesus' name. He will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, not as the world gives you, I give you. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not be afraid. John 16 and 33 tells us, Jesus says, these things I have told you that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have trouble. But cheer up, I have overcome the world. So Jesus tells us that the chaos that we're seeing around us, even the tension that we feel, the anxiety when something comes against us that we haven't planned, these are normal. Don't let the devil get you into a place of such torment that you think you're the only one. The devil wants to isolate you from the peace of God. Peace is the union, the presence of God. And he wants to separate you. But Jesus tells us, I've already overcome this. The scriptures encourage us that we can have peace, perfect peace, whose minds are stayed on God, and that we find joy in the fact that God has overcome everything we've been through. In Philippians 4, 6 and 7, Jesus also tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition to God, with a thankful heart, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. That means your reasoning, everything that someone tells you, anything you've heard. If it's outside the way of God, the will of God, the word of God, then it is on your own reasoning, and there will not be the truth of peace in your life. And he says, it transcends your understanding, but this will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Grateful hearts in prayer bring peace. As we turn our thoughts to what God has done for us, it releases our need for him. When we release our needs to God, all of his, everything that he is, the great I am, which is now. I am means now. When I say I am here in the present. I don't have to worry about what was back there. I'm not thinking about what's, you know, coming after lunch. I'm right here in the present. And in the presence of God is where there's the peace and there's the power. That's where it can be released. In Philippians 4 and 9, Jesus also tells us that peace, whatever we have learned, received, or heard from me, now this is Jesus speaking, or seen in me, put this into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Did you hear that, though? We have to put it in practice. Jesus said that everything that we've learned, we've seen, we've received. Now, of course, the disciples had a physical Jesus, a human flesh, that they were with and watched all of the miracles and the way that God, you know, worked through Jesus. They saw that. We today have something greater. Because Jesus left us the Holy Spirit, Amen. Advocate, Amen. That guards our hearts and our minds in that peace when we allow it and we practice it. We have to want to be in it. It has to be a yielding of our own will. We see in the scriptures that peace is found in receiving the Holy Spirit through Christ Jesus. There's no other way. You're not going to find peace in the world through how much you have, how much you own, how great someone thinks you are, how pretty you are, you know, how perfect you have your palace, so to speak. None of that is going to bring you a foundation of peace, because as God tells us, that is going to pass away. All of it's going to be passed away. The only thing that will remain is the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the only thing that remains. Jody taught last year on the Spirit, and she taught several series on it, on how that we are God, we're Spirit first, and then we are the Spirit in a body that has a soul. So the spirit man is the man that is to rule and reign over the flesh, over our reasoning and what we do. And we know as Christians that Jesus Christ is the only way to that. And the reason is because it unlocks the Holy Spirit. You know, we can go down here and buy a new car, and we can unlock the doors and we can drive it, and it can get us to places of peace. But that car and that unlocking of a door and that going is not the true foundation of peace. because we know that we can go get in that car, try to unlock it, the battery's dead, the tires are flat, the gas is low, the insurance is due, and off goes our peace. There is no peace. We've based it on what we have in our hands instead of taking it to the Holy Spirit. Because in the presence of God is perfect peace. No other place. Peace is a path of release. It is a truce. It's a turnaround from the ways and thoughts of this world. We just sang that in the song. Repentance and freedom to relax and rest and find joy and answers. Peace is the umpire. There is safety in peace. Psalms 119 and 165 says, "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble." God's great protection of us is in His law. A shield, a border around us, showing us where the thief can steal our peace. If we trust our reasoning instead of God's ways, then we are on our own and we are subject to that peace being stolen every minute of every day. We are in the world, but we are not of it. Our spirit man, the real you, moves you in the daily task and problem solving. By staying in the trust of God's love for you, there is calm in His peace. Jesus told us there are problems. We will go through pains of the flesh, but in Him, cheer up, be reassured and calmed in God's peace. It is in these hard times that we grow in our trust of God, peace in the storm, taking us through it to a greater place of intimacy, all for God's glory and eternal relationship with Him. People, that's why we were purposed, is for an eternal relationship with God. The reason that He created man is to have communion with man on the earth. But sin separated us, reasoning separated us, doubt, pride, selfishness, all of that came into play and separated us from the perfect plan of God. But when God wrote our story, He did not change His perfect plan. The Bible, you can look at it from beginning and end, and you can even read the events in history. Never missed a beat. There's no way that the beginning and the end could meet, and we could be here in the middle or even in the last days as we are, and they come together in such perfect alignment with God's Word. It can only be that God wrote the book. He created us. He purposed us. And He purposed us to have a peace in the fact that we could trust Him. But now we've got turbulence all around us. And in that turbulence, we have to get still and we have to seek God and we have to do it first. In these hard times, God will take us through the storm. He's promised that. We have just started a new year and we've celebrated Christmas. We've all had some moments that I know that our peace was shaken. We've had some unsure finances or unexpected guests or sickness or relatives, etc. You know, you can even wake up and say, "Oh, I'm so happy today," and, you know, stump your toe. I mean, just simple things like that, that could immediately, if not brought back into thankfulness, into grateful to God for even waking up this morning, changing our attitude into one that says, "God, I'm going back into where You are. I'm going back into Your kingdom. I'm in this world and I've got to walk around and I've got to get dressed and I've got to buy presents and I've got to cook and I've got to do all these things. But God, I need You. I need Your law. I need Your shield. I need Your peace all around me." So that when these things come, as Jesus has told us they will, I can still have peace to endure it and go through it. Because you know what? The latter reigns better. God has promised it. You know why it's better? Because with each trouble, we grow more intimately with God. We learn less dependent on us and more dependency on Him. And that's the way He created us to be. He is the great I Am. He is in us now. He is the creator of all things. He is living and alive. And that's what we draw from. That's what should be motivating us in everything that we do. I wanted to take a look at the celebration of Jesus' birth. And we know that in Luke, it talks of how the angel of the Lord, it's Luke 1 and 28, and there was a young woman. And most of you here know the story, and it was Mary. That was Jesus' mother. And an angel appeared to her, and he says, "Greetings, highly favored woman." Yeah, that's me. Greetings, highly favored woman. "The Lord is with you." Now, let's step back. Let's take it into the human form. An angel has appeared. I'm 15 years old? She was young. He calls her woman. You know, I don't know that I knew anything at that age, you know, and scared, you know, of everything because our body's changing and everything. And there is an angel that is speaking to me, telling me that God is with me. So I'm sure at that moment she was shaken. That don't look peaceful to me. I mean, you know, somebody's going to come and tell me that, you know, you're fixing to get impregnated with God. And I'm like, impregnate? Wait a minute. Let's see. How does that even work? I don't know a man. I'm not married. I'm betrothed to a person. But we have a covenant. We are pure. I mean, whoo. You know, the statues of that day, I mean, the families, everybody was involved. There was nobody left out. And you were put together, and, you know, there was no hanky-panky. I mean, you know, whew, there was none of that. So this is a union that, you know, she's got to accept that is, you know, is out of the norm in more ways than one. Mary, unmarried, not with a perfect resume. Not the way I see it. You know, she was perfect. I mean, she was young, she wasn't married, and she's got, you know, all these family involved. She's got her, you know, her character and her personality and her, you know, everything about her to uphold. And so nothing is looking peaceful at the moment about this situation but Mary. She yielded and she trusted God. Luke 1 and 38 gives us her response. "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word." And the angel departed. Mary was yielded and willing in the presence of God. She received the word of God and peace came over her. She was chosen of God, equipped and purposed for just a time as this. Do you know each and every one of us are purposed by God and chosen for just a time as this? That means that even though all of this chaos and everything that's going on in the world like never before, we are placed in a place to be peace to this world, to be a change, to bring God's peace into the world. Not as the world sees it, because everybody at Christmas time especially, they're like, you know, peace on earth, peace on earth, we want peace. But their way of peace is, well, I want these people to quit fighting, and I want more money, and if I just had. And the world doesn't understand that the only peace comes from Jesus. And when they accept the peace of Jesus, then all these things will fall into place. But Mary, her obedience to the peace of God, to the presence of God, revealed peace in her, and her obedience delivered our Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, God with us. Mary's peace was challenged by a thief of fear. The angel told her to fear not, so we know that she had fear. So people, when we get in fear, that doesn't mean that we're out of the will of God. It means we've got to take what is coming against us and put it into His presence. You know, Pastor's been telling us, look up the scriptures that apply to what you're going through. You know, if you've got a bounty right now, don't be, you know, praying against poverty. Thank God, you know, bring the scriptures that praise Him for the things that you have. If you need healing, Don't be praying about your finances. You know, I mean, that's okay to mention it. I got doctor bills. But the main source is you're healed. And you need to believe you're healed. And all the other things, all the finances and everything will follow. But it's not going to follow if you're shaky. We can't do anything when we're troubled and anxious and upset. Nothing. Not even in the natural. The natural world can't do it. We as Christians should know to go to the Prince of Peace. But we allow the thief. And one of the thieves is fear. And we have to stand up against it. And the only way that we can stand up against it is to thank God for what He's already done for us. Be grateful and get in His presence. Peace is God's presence. It didn't stop the ridicule or the shame from others who didn't understand. So one thing that Mary did is she went to her friend Elizabeth. And Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist. She sought encouragement. She didn't go with the crowd that was trying to slander her. She found refuge in God's presence, and God led her to those that would encourage her. That's why He tells us to gather together as a church. There is peace in numbers. There is peace in His presence when we can gather from one another, when we can bring together the Spirit of God that is uniquely in each one of you and bring it together into the whole under the power of the Holy Spirit, and we are lifted up. God's walk is intimate and supernatural. It begins with salvation. Jesus, our pardon. We turn away from our reasoning and we choose God's will for our life. We have to let go of our pride. One way that we can be encouraged and uplifted, but also kept in line, is by the body of Christ. We have sisters and brothers in Christ that can say, hey, I don't really think that's the best situation for you. Hey, is something bothering you? Hey, how can we help? We are bringing the presence of God, the peace of God, in our situations. That's why Jesus encourages us. That's why the Word, the law of God, says, do not forsake your assembling together with one another. Because therein we bring the presence of peace. And when we come in and we don't have peace, we have a place to sit and to gather it from others. God wants us to call to remembrance His goodness. When we come to church and we gather with others, we listen to testimonies. Tanya's testimony this morning about the tennis shoes. I mean, that's awesome. How many times have we said, God, I'd really like this, and we go somewhere, and there it is, right before us. That's how He is. He loves to delight in us and loves to surprise us. There were so many surprises through the Christmas season. I'm not going into it because I'll get off the message, but amazing things. And it was only God. It was only God. And there were some turbulent things as well. But there was only God. And He's the one that settles it. Our prayers, our talks, our communion with Him, our quiet time brings harmony with God and peace. Peace is our umpire. We practice what Jesus taught us. In James 1:22, He says, be doers of the word, not just hearers, just not hearers. So that means that we have got to do something about what we hear when God gives it to us. Mary did something. She accepted the supernatural power of God to birth Jesus inside of her. She accepted God's love for her and stood against the ridicule and the blame and all of the pressure she went through. Even when she went to give birth, which we know when giving birth of our children, it's a happy time and it's a hard time at the same time. I mean, it's two of them. We're like laboring, but yay, you know, we're going to see our baby. Mary had to travel on a donkey. Could you imagine? We think we've got some troubles today. I couldn't imagine being pregnant and traveling on a donkey. She had to have the peace of God. Her focus was in the presence of God and what was happening, which was the birth of Jesus. And so she delighted in God. God delighted in her. And her physical was able to go and to move and to give birth in a manger. That takes a lot of peace. If her peace had been, now Joseph, I want a 5-star hotel, I need a spa, I need a masseuse, I want all the drugs you got, plenty of water, I need some sweets, some chocolates, whatever, when I get done, you know, his cradle has to be this way. I mean, that's how we are. Think about it. Today, when we plan our things, whew, we got it laid out because we think that's what's going to give us peace. And it's not that a plan is not good. We have to have a plan. We have to be doers of the word, so we have to have a plan. You can't just, you know, yeah, exactly. Don't know what the word is, but y'all know. You just can't, you know. You got to be aligned. You got to have a plan. And they had a plan. She was going to ride on the donkey. She was hoping to stay at an inn, but that plan got changed. She was in a manger, but you know what? She gave birth to the King of Kings. She gave birth to her purpose. And we today have the power of the Holy Spirit because of Mary's obedience. Because she got in peace and didn't let the troubles of a pregnancy out of wedlock. A husband that might not understand. Look at Joseph. I mean, he had to take care of a child that wasn't his and didn't even know. He had to trust that it came from God. Can you imagine? I mean, hey, jealousy in relationships, male and female, is a hard thing. So when you think deeply about these things, it takes a strong, deep peace of God to be able to hold you in that situation and do what God needs you to do. But God has promised that we have His peace. Surrender to God's will brings peace. You're in alignment with God's purpose and His good plan. Trusting every situation, He will work it out for your good. Remember, Jesus said to practice in Philippians 4 and 9, to practice what you've seen and heard of Him. Some of the ways that we can practice what Jesus did and to stay in peace is just to be honest with ourselves and honest with God. Amen. Repent of those things we know are hurting God. God, break my heart for what is breaking you. Because you know what? When you accepted Jesus Christ and the peace of God was birthed in you, it grows as you have intimacy with Him. And I promise you, just as where you're in relationship with others, it begins to bother you when you know that you have hurt them or wronged them. There is no peace. That's why God says that if you don't have peace, don't come to the altar. Make peace with that person. Now, I'm going to let you know, too, that when you seek God's peace, you need to seek His timing. So that doesn't mean if you know there's a separation somewhere in your life, in anything, to rush in. Remember what Pastor says, he is slow, slower, and slowest now. Pause. Make sure that the peace of God is with you, that you're not doing it by your own reasoning, figuring it all out, but you're truly allowing God, saying, God, my feet are walking here. I'm walking with you. Show me what to do. Isn't that what Jesus did? When throughout Jesus' life, the disciples saw Him move in everything. Jesus wasn't carrying around a grocery store when He fed the 5,000. There are people everywhere. What He did was He said, Father. He went to the Father. The Father, I'm certain, pointed out a young man. This young man, He just happened to appear, and he has a couple of fish and some bread. That wouldn't feed us in the natural. But God blessed it. Jesus called it forth into the Father's hands, and every person was filled to overflow. Tanya went to the shoe store. She was filled to overflow. What she wanted was there. God does the impossible. But we have to be in a point of being able to recognize it. And when we get in chaos or caught up with the world's way, we can't see it. We can't feel it. We can't recognize it because we're still trying to pull on it ourselves. So, as the scripture tells us, if you have aught with someone, take it to God. Ask His forgiveness. Ask Him to show you where it is that you can change. Ask Him to show you the situation, to lay it out. He may do it quickly, or it may take time. But cheer up. Don't lose heart. Because what did Jesus say? He will overcome this thing too. And God is a God of restoration. God is a God of renewal. God, in His peace, can make all things brand new. He can set the pace, the guide, the umpire, for everything to align and fall right in your life in the middle of everything falling apart. When Jesus was at Gethsemane, it said, the word tells us that He sweated great drops of blood. That means that God, that Jesus knows our infirmities. He knows what bothers us. He knows when we get so bothered and so tense inside that we feel like we're going to just burst. He felt it. Jesus got angry when He went in the temple and saw things that were not going right. But Jesus immediately walked with the great I Am. He walked in the Father and handled each situation as it was. He didn't look to the past. He didn't look forward. He handled what was before Him. That's why He didn't sin, because He stayed in the will of God. That's why He was without sin and could get angry, but He sinned not. That's how He could go to the garden and question God. Because Jesus questioned God. Everything that was coming on us, every sin that He had never knew came upon Him. On His mind and on His body. His flesh man took it all. And He asked God, can this cup pass from me? This is the difference. Thy will. I would have it that it be my will. I would have it that my will be done, God. I want to send the angels and everybody stop this thing right now. We got enough people in the kingdom. We fine. You know, I probably had a lot of different things to tell God, because the flesh was in such pain. How many times do we get in such pain that we're just like, I'm sorry, God, I can't even seek Your peace because I am so... That's a thief. That is the devil trying to keep you from the very promise that God has already given you, that you have peace. You have it in Him. When Jesus questioned God, He gave back His will to Him. And that's what we have to do. We have to be prepared, have a plan. And it's according to God's Word and Scriptures. That's why we have to study, and we have to stay in the Word, and we have to be together with encouragers. We, you know, the world is saying, oh, we'll stay away from negative. Well, you know, God may have you go in a negative place, okay? We got negative all around us. I mean, we have that. We cannot avoid it. But what God is saying to Christians is that though this is going around you, don't partake of it. You're in it, but don't partake of it. Stay in My kingdom and stay in My peace. Respect others and love them. Give, and I'm going to finish this one, and tithe. That is the law of God. One way that we stay in peace is when we stay in the boundaries of God. A lot of reasons that we have unrest and unpeace is because our finances get out of order. You know, we've had Carla speak on, you know, how to manage our money and everything. So there are different plans that God will show you according to what is going on in your life. You have to be a doer of this word, but his peace is his promise that I am going to show you what to do. But the laws that he gave us are a protection. A body at peace releases worry and doubt, selfish pride, and unbelief. Those are all thieves. Everything is a thief that comes against the Word of God. And we have to meet that with the power of God. And the only way that we can do that is to get still in Him. That doesn't mean that we're not busy doing things. It just means we are footed. We are grounded. We know who our God is. He is an I am that is living now. He doesn't have to be some way that he did it in the past, because we're just going to be in the moment. Peace opens healing and strength, favor and blessings in the midst of trouble. Remember, Jesus has overcome it all. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For our light and momentary troubles